I'm Pastor Troy Thompson. The message you're about to receive was conceived from the heart of the Father. I pray that it challenges you, transforms you, but most of all, that it inspires you to live in the power and the grace of our Lord.
Amen. If you have your Bible, go with me to Exodus 17. I'm going to share with you a story about holding your promises above the valley. In Exodus 17, what you see is God having a conversation with Moses. We'll start in verse 8, and it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel. Whenever Amalek comes, there's a response. Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go and fight. Go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to go on top of the mountain and top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up on top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down, when he let his hand down with the rod in it, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." I want to bring to your attention what happens earlier in Exodus 4. In Exodus 4, God is speaking to Moses. Moses has the rod in his hand, and God says to Moses, "Moses, what are you holding on to?" Moses says, "This is a rod." And God says, "You think it's a rod? Here, if you let that rod down, I want to show you what will happen." So Moses lowers the rod, and he lets it come down. He lowers the rod to the ground. He surrenders the rod to the ground, and as soon as he does, what happens? It became a serpent. It became a serpent. Now, just a second ago, Moses was leaning on the rod. Just a second ago, Moses had such great confidence in this rod. He was assured that this is the rod of God for his life, that you know, with this rod, he could do some incredible things. But moments later, now, Moses, once he lowers the rod of God, it becomes a serpent. And it's interesting how quickly we run from that which we just held. We're just holding on to it. And now, son, we were just holding on to the promises of God. But you mean to tell me when the promises of God are surrendered and lowered down to the ground, they become a serpent again? That's encouraging for somebody right now, because what you're holding on to today was a snake from yesterday that you took up by the tail and you held in your hand. That means that today's promises that you hold were yesterday's serpents that you were afraid of. And God will take yesterday's serpents, turn them into promises, and lead you through the wilderness and provide great miracles along with those rods. So long as you do what? Hold them up. But as soon as they're let down, as soon as you let them go, as soon as you let the promises go, as soon as you drop the promises, we give life then to the serpent. The serpent then comes alive. And so now, jump forward to 17. God is having a conversation. He says, "Moses, I want you to go up on the mountain. And I want Joshua, can you just stand in the valley there? You're right in the middle of the valley, right there. And I want you, Moses, you're going to go up on top of the mountain of God with the rod in your hand. I want you to take the rod and get out of the valley. I don't want you, see, here's how we know that your faith matters to whether I win or lose, and his faith matters to whether you win or lose, because God says, Moses, if you'll get on top of the mountain and hold the promises above the valley, then I'll cause victory to come to Joshua, and all of Israel will be rescued by your faith in holding your promises above the valley. That means your prayers, my prayers, your prayers matter as to whether Joshua and the boys win. That means if somebody's in the hospital fighting the fight of faith today, it's our responsibility to get to the highest place that we can, lift the promises above that place, and begin to declare the promises to that place, begin to surround ourselves with faith for promises in that place, and begin to worship from this place. Because Moses did it because he remembered in Exodus 4 when he let it down and how it became a serpent. You see, anytime you let the promises of God fall to the ground, you give life to the curse. Anytime you surrender the promises of God because of what you see in the valleys, you give life to the curse. And then what happens? You start operating in fear. You start running from the thing you used to hold on to. You see what happened to Moses in Exodus 4. As soon as he let it down, it became a serpent, and Moses became afraid and started running. And I would tell you today that there are more Christians running from the what they see in the valley than ever before. Going to heaven, yes. Bringing heaven to the earth? Not so much. Because the thing that they held on to, the promises that they held on to from yesterday, they've grown weary in holding on to those promises. They've been in the fight for so long. That's why God said, Moses, you can't fight from the valley. This victory, your weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. You've got to get to a place where you can fight with the advantage. The advantage for you, Moses, is on top of the mountain. You got to get out of the valley because all you can see is what is happening in the valley. You've got to get out of darkness. You've got to stop listening to lies. You've got to stop seeing what they're seeing. Victory depends on holding the promises of God above the lies of the enemy from the valleys. He says, get high. Get up on top of the mountain and hold the promises of God. So I need, yes. Come on, Moses. There you go, Moses. Come on up. You got to get to the top of the mountain. You're going to get to the top of the mountain up here with God. Here we go. It's going to put you right here. And you just hold the promises of God up. Moses, you get up there and you hold the promise high. Don't let it down. Moses, don't let it down. Joshua, you get in the valley and you fight with Amalek. Your victory is going to depend on whether or not he holds the promises above the enemy. Okay. You can't win. Your victory depends on him. Mm-hmm. Your victory depends on him. My victory depends on you. Whether you hold up the promises of God on my life. So you fight. You fight. And it says that they took a rock and they rolled a rock underneath of them. They rolled this rock underneath of them to signify Christ. So that tells me that no victory can be won, no promise can be lifted unless it be founded upon the rock of Christ Jesus. Everything else is vanity. Everything else is just a hoping and a wishing. It's just a gambling with vanity. You just maybe it will, maybe it won't. But if the promises that you're holding, if the hope that you're holding has Christ as the foundation, he's the one that rose from the grave to make sure that there's actually some power in the promise. So it says, listen, make sure you slide the rock underneath you. That's what you're going to need to stand on. You don't have that. You're just, everything else is sinking sand. He says, now what you're going to have to do also, in order that Joshua can bring victory to Israel, is you're going to need some help, because it's getting heavy, right? Okay, you let it down for a second. He lets it down. But listen, which tells us what Paul said is true. That your momentary light affliction that's happening in the valley, that the fight that's happening here is momentary and it's afflicting, but it's producing something that's heavy up there. It's heavy up there because this is producing something up there that's called glory. It's producing a weight of glory. Glory is heavy. You know that the reason you're tired and the reason the enemy fights with you is because your promise is heavy. You know that the reason you're frustrated, the reason you're dissatisfied, the reason you can't sleep at night is because your promises are heavy. And so God says, I know that the promises of victory in the valley are so heavy, you're going to need some help. So I'm going to send you Aaron and Ur, and they're going to come up here, and they're going to help hold up what? The promises of God over your life. The mistake most people make in this scenario is they grab the rod of God rather than the arms of Moses. See, most times when something like this is happening, you say, I want to touch the promise that's on your life. I want some of your promise. So I'm going to touch your promise. But that's not what God sent you to them to do. God didn't say go hold their promise. God has you have your own promise. Don't let go of his promise. Just help him support his promise. And we got so many people trying to grab one another's promises. There's such competition for my promise and your promise and your promise. God said, don't touch their promise. If you lift up their promise, I'll bring victory to everybody else. So he said, just help them, help Moses hold up the promises of God. You know, if we would spend more time holding up one another's promises rather than criticizing one another's promises, we would begin to see the manifestation of revival for Jacob. We would begin to see a manifestation of revival of healing breakout. Rather than competing with one another, if we could help one another, if you have a promise, it's my responsibility then. The scriptures here is telling us something. If your promise then becomes my responsibility, I've got to reaffirm your promise. I've got to tell you that all things are possible through Christ Jesus. I've got to tell you that all the promises of God are yes and amen for you. If that's the promise that God's put in your heart, then it's my responsibility to ascend the top of the mountain with you and to grab hold of your arms and to make sure you don't grow weary in well-doing. Because if your promise comes to pass, my promise is attached to your promise. Who's to say that I won't be in the valley tomorrow waiting for you to hold your promises above? We are so connected. If we could understand the amount that we are connected to one another, that your victory is my victory. That if you fight, I fight. My fight looks different than your fight, though. Okay? Moses, you're fighting. Can I tell you, you're fighting. Moses, you're fighting. It's getting heavy. It's getting heavy. But you're fighting. It may not look like how Joshua's fighting, but the fight is still the fight. The fight is to make sure that Amalek does not overtake Joshua and the boys in the valley. And because tomorrow, you may be down in the valley. There may be a doctor call tomorrow. I got two calls this morning. There are people that are on their way to the hospital. Two of them. They were in the valley. But who's this? You see, it's our responsibility now to ascend the mountain of God, hold the promises of God high over their life, to see victory come to their life. Hold it down. Let it down for a second. I know it's getting heavy. You can sit down for a second. So here's what the enemy does, though. You see, the enemy knows that glory, there's glory being produced by the promises being held. That as you hold the promises, Paul says, there is glory that's being produced. Let's go there. Ephesians, or 2 Corinthians 4:17. I want you to see it. For light affliction, our light affliction is just for a moment, but it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So your promises, yes, they get heavy. Yes, they are heavy. Paul says again in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Paul says to be strong. Now, it's one thing to be strong in Phil. Phil's a big man. And I'm certain he's strong. But it's another thing to be strong in the Lord and the power of might. You see, it's his might. It's his strength that brings victory. It's his strength and his strength alone that can bring victory to impossible situations in your life. You see, the earth can't produce. Man can't produce what's needed to bring victory in valleys sometimes. And you see, sometimes doctors will say things that man doesn't have the strength to overcome. Sometimes situations will come to your life where there are just no earthly means, no physical means to overcome them. But God says, but Paul says, if you just get strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you'll be able to hold the promises. You see, you need the strength of the Lord, not the strength of Troy, not the strength of Jim. You need the strength of the Lord to demonstrate the power of his might in the middle of your fight. That's what you need. And the enemy knows it. You see, your enemy, he knows it. And so what he'll do is he'll say, okay, you believe that promise, do you? You believe that promise? He sees you praying and he sees you winning. He sees you holding up the promises. When the enemy comes, he sees what's happening there. So what he says, I know what I'll do then. I'll send some heaviness to your life. I'll make some stuff heavy in your life. And I'll make it so you can't stand to hold it anymore. I'll weaken your resolve and I'll weaken your prayer. I'll get it to a point to where you can't hold it up in your own strength anymore. I'm going to weaken you and you're going to let it down, because he knows that if he can get you to let the promises fall, what will happen? They'll turn into the curse. So what he wants to do is make the promises of God heavy and burdensome and weary. He tries to exhaust us with situations and circumstances in life. He'll just make everything come at you at one time. Has anybody ever had everything come at them at one time? I mean, you just got out of a fight and it seems like you're back into a fight. I saw the other day one mother lost her son to cancer, and then her other son now suddenly is in the hospital, and she cries out and says, God, when will it end? And she was holding the promises of God above the valleys of God, the valley all through the thing. But now suddenly the weight of the enemy has come upon you. And now what's happening to the promises? They're getting heavy. Let it down for just a second. He says, okay. That's not enough, huh? And the enemy, he knows exactly where to put the weight to. He doesn't know all things, but he watches you. He watches you to see the points of your weakness. He says, I'll study you and I'll figure out the point of your weakness. And so he'll create some marriage trouble. Now suddenly the thing you thought was certain, intimate betrayal. He'll bring betrayal to your life from the people you love the most that will create such heaviness and heartache in your life that the moment you try to lift your promises, you will feel the weight. Go ahead and try to lift that now. Let's see if you can lift that promise. And it just becomes heavier and heavier and heavier until you just can't take it anymore. Because the enemy knows if I can make your promises heavy, you'll throw them down to the ground. Let them down, Moses. And as soon as they hit the ground, you give up. You forfeit the promise and you give life. You see, because if you're not, there's no in between, is there? There's no like middle place for faith, is there? You're either holding them or you're letting them go. You're either lifting them above the disease or you're surrendering and succumbing. You're either lifting them above for your children or you're throwing it down and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't bear the weight of this problem anymore. And you throw it down and you give up and you say, I bought that t-shirt. I played that game. I went there. I did that. How did Jesus do it? Thank you for right now. Thank you. Give him a hand. I was easy on them, wasn't I? I got a lot more weight in the bag. And when Adrian did it in Lorraine, I really went at him pretty hard. Hold him up there. Hold him up there. How did Jesus do it? The Son of God, the incarnate, God made flesh, but still had to hold his rod. Still on Calvary's hill, ascended a mountain high above the valley, lifted the rod of God, the cross there. Many would say that the cross held him up. I would propose that it wasn't the cross that held him up. It was he who held the rod of God high so you and I could embrace the promises that were manifested on that cross that day. Could you imagine the weight of his rod on that day when he held the promises above the curse of the enemy on that day? How did he do it? Because you and I have got to become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He had to do it, so we have to do it. One of the things you'll see that he did was he took the word of God and he held it above. He held the word of God. He valued the word of his Father over him more than the word or the lies from the enemy. The Son of God valued the word of God. I asked this question not long ago to our congregation. How many have completed reading the scriptures through for the year? We're near the end of the year. How many? And about 3 hands went up and alarm bells went off in my spirit. Because if you're not holding this word above that word, then I can only tell you that more than likely you're embracing that more than you're embracing this. Yes, there are days when you're not going to want to hold it up. There are going to be days when you're not going to want to read it and hold it above. You're going to wake up tired or sick and you're not going to want to hold it above. But God, here Jesus shows us that he took the word and he held it above. Matthew 4, the tempter comes to him. He He's hungry now. He had been fasting for 40 days. He's in the wilderness. He's hungry. He's tired. And one of the things the enemy comes to him and says, turn these stones into bread. If you, let's go there, Matthew 4. Matthew 4:2, he says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If you are, the enemy will come to you and question whether what you're holding is true or not. And the way he does it is he's like, listen, you really believe you're a son of God? You really believe that? This is how he comes to you. He comes to you in your weakest state, in your most malnourished moments, and he questions your identity to the Father, your sonship, your daughtership to the Father. If you are the Son of God, go ahead and command these stones to become bread for you. And Jesus' response is, it is written. Now you see, then Jesus holds the word. How did Jesus become strong? How did he become strong enough to hold the cross? He held the word above his hunger. And if we're ever going to be strong enough to lift the promises above every valley we face in life, then what we're going to have to learn to do is to hold the word above our hunger. We're going to have to hold the word above our present circumstance. We're going to have to hold it above and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to turn stones into bread, because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. I don't need bread. What I need is the word, but by every word that proceeds from the heart of my Father, from the mouth of my Father. That's why Jacob must hear the words of his father to hold the promises of God above every valley he'll face. Jesus holds the word above his weakness. You see in Matthew 4, 7, the enemy comes to him again. It says, just throw yourself down from here if you are the Son of God. Go ahead and throw yourself down from here. And Jesus says again, he holds the word and he says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, I'm going to hold the word of my Father above the weakest moments of my doubt. And I'm never going to allow a moment of weakness to create ultimatums with my Father. My circumstance will not give life to panic. I won't lower the promises of God down, my Father down. I will not ask my Father, most importantly, to violate his nature of grace. I won't make him perform for me. And many times when the enemy comes to us, in our moments of weakness, he says, give God an ultimatum. Tell God either he do this or you're done. And that's what the enemy was doing. Give your Father an ultimatum, Jesus. Tell him to save you or you're finished. And God said, no. Jesus said, no, I won't do that. I won't violate the nature of my Father. His nature is grace. And when Jesus came, he came to us full of two things, grace and truth. He said, no, I won't violate his nature of grace and make him work for me. That's not how this works. I'm his son. I trust him. He holds the word again. He holds the word above false worship in Matthew 4, verse 10. He comes to him. He says, listen, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus responds, it is written. Holds the word above false worship. You see, any time we worship for anything other than the heart of the Father is false worship. Any time we compromise for anything other than the heart of the Father, we enter into false worship. I'm not going to worship you. I'm not going to worship for you. I'm not going to worship so you could be entertained. I will not do that. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone. We see that he also holds the word of God in prayer. Jesus, in Luke 11, verse 1, it says that it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Don't miss this. So Jesus then, he became strong by holding the word above, and then he became strong by praying the word above. So he held the word and he prayed. So the discipline of reading the word and consuming the word, even when you don't want to, you consume the word and pray the word. Because it says that Jesus was praying, and one of the disciples was so moved by what he saw when Jesus was talking to the Father that he comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, teach me to talk to the Father like you do. How do you talk to the Father? How do you talk to the Father?" Because Jesus took the word and he held it above. He prayed. "I don't beg. I'm not afraid. I come to him with expectation. I don't come to him in shame. I don't come to him in anger. I talk to the Father because as I talk to my Father, it determines the victory I receive in the valley." You gain victory because you talk to the Father. Third, you see that Jesus held above who he was surrounded by. So he held the word, he prayed the word above, and he had fellowship with those whose lives were above. He hung around people who were above. Who are you hanging out with? If you're going to grow strong in the Lord in the power of his might, you might want to take note of the people you have holding up your arms. Because if you take stock, what you'll realize is most of them aren't really holding up your arms. They're holding on to your rod. Most of them are holding on to your rod, not really lifting your arms, not really believing in your promise. And listen to what Jesus has a conversation in Matthew 16, 18. And it says, "I say to you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church." And if you never thought we were connected, listen to what Jesus says here. "The gates of hell won't prevail against this." So Jesus has these people around him who support him, who hold him up. And he coveted it so much that he came to them in his weakest moment. He said, "Will you pray with me? I need you to help me hold my promise. My promise is going to come to you, but I need your help holding my promise." Jesus, the Son of God, knew the priority of the church. Because he said, if the church gets this, the gates of hell won't prevail. If we could understand that you're connected to me and I'm connected to you, and whether or not I support you determines your victory and my victory. Do you understand that the gates of hell have victory or not based upon whether or not we are holding up one another's promises? So ask your friends, who did they say Jesus is? And if they don't have the answer that Peter had, then you should probably create some distance between you and them. Because you can't afford to have people around you who don't agree with your promises in Christ. You can't afford to have people that are directly around you who aren't helping you hold up your promises. Hell can't win if we lift one another's promises above the valleys. Lastly, Matthew 26, 30. I close with this. When they sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. They just received communion. And when they were done, Jesus led them in worship. These spiritual disciplines. One more time, Moses, if you'll come back up. Aaron and Ur, if you'll come back up with him. So we see that's the word. He became strong by the discipline of the word. He became strong by the discipline of prayer, the confession of his mouth determined the belief in his heart. He prayed. He held the word. He prayed. And he hung around with people who did those first two things. So when people tell me church doesn't matter, I laugh at them. That's ridiculous. This is probably the one thing that does matter while all else doesn't. This right here matters. Whether you're here or not matters. Whether your promise manifests matters. It matters for your children. It matters for this community. It matters for this nation. And then we see that Jesus made worship a priority. He redefines what communion is. And then immediately out of his heart, he led them in worship. He led them in worship. Worship is the heart that sings the promises of God. What does your heart sing? Does it sing the promises of God? Or does it sing the sorrow of the valley? Those two postures, Jesus said, if you'll learn to worship, because those who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and truth. If you'll learn to worship, it'll give life to what your heart sings. It will manifest what your heart sings. What'll happen is, the stuff that was heavy, the things, if we'll learn how to hold the word above the valley, if we'll learn how to confess the word above the valley, if we'll learn how to fellowship with one another and hold one another's promises above, and if we'll learn how to worship, if we'll strengthen ourselves in those areas, then what will begin to happen in our life is we'll begin to notice that the promises of God get lighter. With every scripture read, with every prayer prayed, with every service attended, with every time there's interaction with one another. And when the moments of worship, your heart then begins to sing a new song in the Lord. And what used to be so heavy and so burdensome now suddenly seems light and full of joy. And the promises of God now become such a joy to you that you lift them up and it becomes a testimony for you. It becomes your testimony. Now think about this rod of God that Moses holds. He holds it with him, and when he's faced with a situation that seemed impossible, he was behind him was Egypt, and on either side of him was the mountain, and in front of him was the Red Sea. God said, take now the promises of God that you held in prayer, the promises of God that you prayed in the long night hours, those moments where you asked the brothers and sisters of the church to hold them up for you, those moments of worship when you worshiped me with tears in your eyes as your heart flooded and began to sing the promises of God. Take that rod of God and hold it in front of that impossible situation, and what you're going to see happen to the impossible situation is there will be a moment where those things will give way, because the promises of God are creating glory to manifest in the earth. Anytime the earth defies, that glory will cause the impossible to separate and give way to the things that only God can do for your life. He said, you're going to come to a place in life where you're going to be thirsty. It's going to resist the promises of God. He said, when you get there, take the promise that you're holding high and strike the ground with it when you get there. Just, if it doesn't listen to you, just strike the ground. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to ask for it more than once. All you have to do is strike the ground there. And what you'll see is the most resistant places in life will burst forth with the waters of living that flow from the living waters of heaven. Suddenly, in those resistant, hard, thirsty places, you'll get to places in your life where God will say, you remember that promise? Strike the ground. If we'll pray, if we'll hold the word above, if we'll make fellowship with one another a priority of lifting one another's promises, and if we'll worship with a heart that sings the promises of God, we'll see a manifestation of those promises begin to emerge in our time. Can you stand to your feet with me as we close in prayer? Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. Thank you, Moses. Thank you. Give them a great big hand. Thank you, guys. Let's pray. Can I ask the prayer partners who are here today, can you come forward, the altar team, the altar ministry team, can you come forward now? Give me a little more volume, Matt. If you're here today, and the promises of God have become heavy in your life. Come on, if that's you, if the promises of God have become heavy in your life, wearisome, burdensome, God says, listen, take my word. Hold it above. Let me encourage you today not to compromise the promises of God. Don't compromise. Don't lower them down. Don't give life to the enemy. Don't lower the promises of God to fit the reality of the valley. We're not going to do that. Hold the promises of God. I don't care what stage it's in. Doesn't matter how impossible it looks. If God before you, no one can be against you. Nothing can come against you. God is for you. God wants you to win today. God wants you to be healed. Come on, somebody needs to grab a hold of that. God wants you to be healed today. God wants you to be happy and full of joy in His presence. There is fullness of joy in His presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is joy. Thank you, Lord, for lifting. If you're here today, you've lowered the promises. Let's commit and covenant today with one another that you pick them back up. Come on, just covenant with me right now today that you'll pick up your promise. Your promise is my promise. Your neighbor's promise is your promise. Hold them up. Pick it up again. Don't let it fall down. Don't grow weary in well-doing. We covenant with one another today to hold the arms of our brother and sister today. Covenant now to grow in the strength of the Lord. Come on, I'm gonna pick up my word. I'm gonna begin to declare my word over my situation. I'm gonna begin to hold up other people's promises. I'm gonna begin to worship from a place of victory in my life and begin to worship from a place of the promise rather than a place of the defeat. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Today you need to do something significant. You need to make a step forward. You need to change where you are, where you're standing. You need to actually move from that place as symbolic of the fact of saying, I'm not staying in this place anymore. I'm going from this day forward. I'm stepping forward with the promises of God in my hand, and I'm going to hold them above every circumstance that defies those promises. I'm not going to let them down. Don't know the Lord. The Bible says to call upon His name and you shall be saved. Call upon the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. Who are we kidding? You can't save yourself. Call upon the one who can save you. His name is Jesus. We call upon you today, Jesus. Rescue us from this place of myself. I bless you, Lord, and I love you, and I thank you. Father, we thank you today, for your word is the most powerful force available to us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus today. If you prayed that prayer, we would like to agree with you in that prayer. Actually, we would like to take your arms and hold them up. If you're dealing with anything today that you need prayer for, we want to pray for you. If you called upon the name of the Lord and you gave your heart to the Lord today, we want to agree with you in prayer. We want to lead you in the prayer of salvation, and we want to give you some resources that you can use to fight that fight of faith that you've just entered into. We love you. We're praying for you. We bless you today, and we just declare that God's glory would follow you all the days of your life. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you next week here at Church on the North Coast. If you need prayer, please come now. God bless you as you go.
Thank you for tuning in today and listening. I'm Pastor Troy Thompson, and I want you to know I'm praying for you, and you can make it. With God, all things are possible. If you'd like follow-up care, go to our website, cnclove.org.